This week on City Lights, we'll hear three stories about illustrators who use their artistic talent in the legal world. Forensic artists are employed to sketch suspected criminals so that officers and the public can be on the lookout. And the Georgia Bureau of Investigation has its own legacy of artists. WABE's Gabby Watts has the story.
All Marla ever wanted to be when she grew up was a typist, but instead she ended up at Underground Atlanta as a street artist. This was the 1970s. Her luck changed when she was the victim of a petty crime. While at the police department to make her report, she applied for a typist position, and she got the job.
I think it was the first 6 months I was there, word got out, hey, there's a girl downstairs who can draw a face.
Back then, Georgia didn't have any forensic artist, and the police chief needed a composite sketch.
I said, well, what is that? He said, it's where you talk to people about what they saw of a person's face that perpetrated a crime. You just sit down and get the description from them and draw it on the paper.
Marla worked at various police departments across Georgia until 1996, when she joined the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. The GBI had asked her to do a sketch of the Olympic bomber Eric Robert Rudolph and were so impressed that they created a job for her. She retired 3 years ago, ending a 37-year career with about 10,000 faces drawn. She left behind a huge legacy and became the standard for any forensic artist to come.
So if you go into my closet, you see, like, I have a couple of skulls that haven't been reconstructed yet.
Kelly Lawson is Marla's successor, and she gave me a tour of her office at the GBI. Along with composites, forensic artists use clay to reconstruct the faces of the unidentified deceased, hence the skulls.
This one is going to be a 40 to 60-year-old black male found in Cherokee County, and he's almost complete.
Marla pioneered her own method of composite sketching, a method that Kelly uses for her sketches. After traveling to a police station to interview the victim or witness, Kelly pulls out a book of photos.
If I had to draw a white male, for example, it would be a book full of white males' faces. It would be anything from celebrities to dramatic black and white portrait photography to mugshots from back in the 70s and 80s.
She asks the victim to look through the photos.
They'll pick out generally about five or six photos, and they'll go, his eyes were kind of like this guy, or I remember his hair like this guy, or you see this guy's expression? He just kind of looked like that.
And she crafts all of those photos together in a sketch. She tries to get it done in 30 minutes.
When I can feel that they're getting happy with it, I ask them, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is what you remember, how close is the sketch? And I won't quit making changes with them and call it quits until we get to at least an 8 out of 10.
Like Marla's drawings, Kelly's are realistic in scale and in detail. She does them in charcoal. She pays attention to skin tone and hair. Throughout the years, Marla received criticism for her method because, well, she made the suspects look good.
As I think one gentleman said, why does she try to make her sketches look like polished portraits? And I'm thinking, why wouldn't I? Why not give that perpetrator his own glamour shot?
In her experience, Marla said that attractive sketches capture the public's attention more than simple, low-quality ones. She also thinks that sketches are better than other sorts of composite renderings. Like, there's this one software that takes different photos and stitches the features together.
And what you get is this semi-realistic-looking, somewhat photo-like image that people look at and they're not quite sure if it's a photo of a person or a composite of a person. And so they're not really able to use their imagination.
That's an important part of forensic art. People are more willing to report someone when they can fill in the image with their imagination. With security camera footage or these software renderings, the image is often too lifelike for people to even consider someone if the suspect doesn't completely match the image. Unlike 24 and CSI, there isn't some sort of magical face recognition software. In a handy witness with an iPhone or security cameras, those things aren't on most street corners.
What if a man comes in your home and, you know, like that classic scenario, like, what was that, Psycho, he comes in and he stabs the woman in the shower. I mean, there are no cameras in there.
Like Marla, Kelly never imagined she'd be a forensic artist. She went to college on an art scholarship, but really didn't see a future in it. But you could say that she's been training her whole life for this career. Marla used to take Kelly to witness interviews, and yep, here's the big reveal. Marla is Kelly's mother. According to Marla, when she was ready to retire, nobody who wanted the job was good enough, so she asked her daughter to give it a try. They trained together for about 13 months, and Marla said, "It's hard to be your child's teacher."
I'm not the sensitive type person that she is, per se, so a lot of days in the office when I would be training her, she would be crying. And I said, "Kelly, shut up. The lady's coming to take out the garbage here, and you're going to be sitting here crying. She's going to think I abused you." And Kelly said, "Well, you do. You do."
Beyond just doing the sketches, Kelly has to spend a lot of time in her car driving to police departments around the state. And then she has to ask victims to recount the most traumatic experience of their life. And here's another hard part about the job, social media. When I spoke with Kelly, she had been getting a lot of criticism on Facebook for some of her composite drawings, particularly for this one sketch of a perpetrator who a witness described as Dr. Dre with big lips.
The victim picked out a picture and she wanted me to draw it just as it was, and it just happened to be a celebrity.
Kelly said that her role as a forensic artist is to act as a vessel for a witness's memory. But that can be a problem because witnesses have their own biases.
You hate to admit it, but it's true. I mean, if I'm a Caucasian female and I see a young Hispanic male come up to me, it's easy for me to kind of generalize him in terms of a certain race. So it's going to be a little harder for me to draw him than if a white male comes up to me and starts communicating with me.
Kelly also found that people are better at describing the gender they are attracted to.
It's preferences, really.
Like mother, like daughter, Kelly and Marla have become hyper-aware of danger through their job. Missing persons, rape, murder, theft. They've seen it all. At her suburban home, Marla wants to install security cameras in the yard. But even with these fears, Marla is enamored with faces.
And I told Kelly, I said, "Kelly, when you first start this job, I want you to just stare at people everywhere you go, because I want you to be influenced by the way they all are so different and so beautiful."
Marla, and maybe Kelly one day, found the beauty of humankind through suspected criminals. For City Lights, I'm Gabby Watts.